Hi, everyone. For some reason, all my presentations at APHA have been lunchtime, so I don't know if they're trying to tell me something. So my talk today is a little, probably a little more theoretical, around strategies to engage faculty and practitioners in teaching. I have no financial relationships. I'm just curious, though. Has anyone been to a presentation where someone's had any really good financial relationships to disclose? I feel like we're a public health crowd. It's probably not that many. Before I get into the full presentation, I just want to give a little background and context. You heard my bio. So I began my career in public health and public health practice. I worked in Ryan White-funded HIV and AIDS programs way, way back at the beginning. I moved into the local public health department in Philadelphia and worked in HIV and AIDS, and then I worked in policy and planning in the commissioner's office for a long time. I spent a few years doing consulting with state and local governments across the country, and then I moved into academia. And I moved into Drexel as professor in health management and policy, direct our public health training center, and our center for public health practice. And so my own evolution in all of this is I always sort of thought, well, I do my teaching, and then I do my practice. And a year ago, I became the associate dean for public health practice at Drexel, the first time we had that as a formal position. And I've seen in my own head over the last year that those two things are really coming together as one, partly because, again, just my own evolution of what I do in the classroom and what I do out in the world, but also so much more of my own job has been about, well, how are we making sure that practice really is in the classroom? And I my faculty is starting to make fun of me because I walk around, especially now we're in an accreditation year, so we are paying a lot of attention to language. And my academic affairs dean and I walk around all the time at meetings and we say, remember, the MPH is the terminal professional degree for public health, meaning you should be able to graduate and practice the profession, the same way you can graduate law school and practice law. So I say that because this is really about sort of the integrating this concept of practice and teaching and not having them necessarily as two distinct functions. So for those of you who are not familiar, with the Demonstrating Excellence series, and Rachel, I want you to go back to ASPH and tell them that I used this in my presentation. This is part of a four-part series on Demonstrating Excellence around practice and teaching, research, community engagement, and I think there's a fourth. I won't read them all, but really it's about just basic principles around practice-based teaching for public health, bridging academia and practice, benefit to student and the school and agencies and communities, critical thinking and problem-solving skills, practice-based teaching, interdisciplinary, multidisciplinary, and multidimensional. I don't know exactly what that means, but I felt like it should be highlighted. Practice-based teaching is a facilitative learning partnership. We've heard that phrase a lot. We heard it in the last couple presentations, we've been hearing a lot the last few days. Critical reflection and service learning, principles of adult learning theories, and practice-based teaching applied interdisciplinary pursuit of scholarly teaching to inform and enhance professional public health education and training. So the other thing I want to say before I move on is that one of the tricks to me about presenting at APHA is you put that abstract in way, way, way back in February with whatever happens to be buzzing around your brain that week. And then you don't have to upload your slides an entire week before you get up and talk. So it's sort of whatever you've got going on that week. And then I've been here since Friday. So Harvard had a symposium on Friday on the future of public health education. ASPPH has been meeting for the last 2 days. So a lot of what I'm going to talk about today is kind of some new stuff that's been bubbling up. And a lot of what I've heard, some really good stuff, just in the presentation I moderated earlier and the different things people have said today. So my way of saying, if you hear anything good, it didn't necessarily come out of my head today. So who and why do we teach? We teach public health students what they need to know to begin a career in public health. We teach public health professionals what they need to know to continue their careers in public health. We need the right mix of teachers to do this well for both audiences. And ideally, we move towards less distinction between the audiences and the teachers. In other words, this notion of we have faculty who teach students and we have trainers who train the workforce. I think we need to start or to stop doing that. I always find it really interesting that when we talk about students in a classroom, we use the word teach, right? And when we talk about the workforce, we use the word train. I'm not an educator by nature. I came into it from practice. So I'm sure that there's a body of literature of why those things are different. But I think that it doesn't necessarily serve us well to use them differently. When we do a training in the workforce, we're teaching, right? We're teaching, we're embarking knowledge, and we train our students to do the work that they need to do. So I think, again, distinguishing those two so concretely, I don't think does us good. So these are the things that I was going to talk about today, sort of how some of the strategies toward bringing those two things together. Aligning academic and workforce competencies, using School of Public Health faculty to develop and deliver trainings for the workforce, engaging public health practitioners as faculty to teach MPH students, so, you know, going both ways. And then really, ultimately, to me, it's about building bridges between academic public health and public health practice to meet a whole range of objectives, one of which is the teaching and training of our students and our workforce. So alignment of academic and workforce competencies. So everybody knows about ASPH, our core competencies for our MPH programs, right? Anyone that's been going through accreditation knows that probably, wakes up in the middle of the night thinking about them. And those of us who are in the workforce training world know Council on Linkages competencies and some of the many other competencies. We're all walking around talking about this. What's interesting is that, at least my faculty at the School of Public Health, they don't know anything about the workforce competencies. And the people out in the field, while they're paying attention to workforce competencies, they don't really know about what would the competencies might be within their schools of public health if they were to go get an MPH. So one of the things that I think is really important is to try and, again, bring the two together. So I've done some work at Drexel around taking the workforce competencies and giving them out to all the department chairs and having our educational coordinating committee and people that review curriculum and our curriculum coordinators to say, well, yes, ASPH competency, the CEF competencies are where it's at. That's what we got to do to be accredited to, you know, have an MPH program. But are we sure that we are getting what we need to get for our students so that the day after they graduate, they have these workforce competencies? So trying to look at what these things are. And we're also sharing some of our public health competencies with our workforce partners and our practice partners so that they can say, oh, wow, these are things, yeah, that my workforce, most of them don't have an MPH, they could really benefit from. So trying to look at those two things together. And there have been various iterations. There's some crosswalks that have been done. Sometimes it's just pulling out a few things. But it's about recognizing that our competencies, particularly when we're in the classroom, don't just end with what we have to do to give somebody that degree. The other thing I think is really important is bringing School of Public Health faculty to the workforce. So I run our site of our Public Health Training Center. And my faculty train for me. Now, if I say to my faculty, how would you like to do a training for the workforce? They're like, what's that? First of all, I don't know what it means to do a training. And I don't want to get out in front of people that actually do public health. They scare me. If you say to your star epidemiology professor, who everybody loves, hey, how would you like to teach a day-long epi course to people who are actually doing it and actually know what you're talking about and looking to get deeper? She's like, sure, sign me up. So some of it's the language. I have found that when you talk to, again, the right faculty about teaching what they do to people who are hungry for it, who are more mature than many of their MPH students, who are actually doing it and can apply it and do it, the interest really peaks. We've done it in part because, especially now with the training center's budgets being decimated, like that's, you know, I'm not paying a trainer when I have someone on my faculty who I can just go plead with and maybe take out for lunch at some point on my own dime and get them to do it. But it's not easy. I mean, you have to work with the right faculty. It needs to be faculty who ultimately have an interest in taking what they know and teaching it outside of the classroom. What fascinates me is that it's intimidating. It's so much more intimidating for faculty to teach in the workforce because, again, it's people who are actually doing it and might actually question what they're doing. It's different than teaching MPH students. So I found that they need a lot of support and a lot of encouragement. And they really need course support. They need support on how do you take their EPI course and boil it down to a day or a two-day, something like that. You can't just simply say, hey, do you want to do this? You really need to provide the sort of the pedagogy and the infrastructure and the work with them. Some of the selling points that we've had for faculty is we've used training in the workforce as a way to try out new course ideas. We're a growing school with lots of new faculty. We have new students every year, so we're having to roll out new courses pretty quickly. And one of the things that we've done with faculty is say, so if you've got an idea for a course, but you don't yet have the time or the energy, or you're not sure if you want to do the full development of a full 3-credit course, well, why don't you try this? So we are developing a public health ethics one-day course for the workforce as a kind of trial balloon to see, well, how would you structure that as a 3-credit course for the MPH? So that's been kind of a selling point. So then faculty get a little instructional design help from training center staff on how to do that. We've been using things like webinars, short talks, using Adobe Connect and things like that as a way for faculty, particularly junior faculty, to really showcase their research out into the field. So a faculty member will take their area of research, they do a 20-minute PowerPoint webinar, we have, you know, the chat box, we've seen a bunch of these presentations this week on how to do that. But again, it gives them the opportunity to kind of put their stuff out there into the public health world and be heard and disseminate some of their research, get some good questions from people, and it gives us a way to, again, use faculty as a way to teach the public health workforce. And the most important thing, again, I think, is that faculty in doing that have realized that there's potential for collaboration for some of their future research and future work. So, again, when my epidemiology professor was teaching this course, and we had a ton of people, for some reason, a lot of physicians and researchers from Children's Hospital of Philadelphia who had taken epi, you know, 20 years, many of them had doctoral degrees. And they came to this one-day training because they wanted to brush up on epi and biostats. And they stuck around. They stuck around. They hung out. They talked to her. And she made some contacts from that training for her ongoing research. So I think that it's a nice selling point to faculty to do that. And I happen to think it has an unintended consequence on faculty, and that I know for myself as a teacher, anytime you teach a different audience, you're a selling point to faculty to do that. And I happen to think it has an unintended consequence on faculty. Someone in the workforce asks you a question, a real-world question, it makes you realize, like, huh, the way I'm teaching this may be a little too theoretical. Maybe I need to put in more examples. Maybe I need to do something different. So I think anytime we give faculty an opportunity to branch outside of the walls of the students who are paying to get their degree, I think it's a benefit to everybody. And we give them a mug. That's the other selling point. Although we used to pay that with training center funds, and now we can't anymore, so the mugs might be gone. So the other piece I would talk about is bringing public health practitioners into the classroom. And many of us do that all the time. We do it at varying degrees, depending what our relationships are. I think some of the important things, and a couple people have talked about this over the last few days, is really about developing strong relationships with practitioners so they work with you over time. We have a tendency to do sort of guest lectures. And people come in and they do a guest lecture and they leave, and it's great. I mean, for the students, I think any time they hear from anybody in practice, it's fabulous. But I think that there are ways that we can deepen those relationships, whether it's developing a relationship with someone who wants to teach an entire course, if they have time to. It's always a challenge for people in the field to have time to teach an entire course. But what I found is that when practitioners have an ongoing relationship and connection to the School of Public Health, they are that much more effective in the classroom because they know our program, they know our students, they know what we're about, and it becomes a little more than just kind of a drop-in, talk, and leave. We've had good use of using our community preceptors from our practicum sites in this role because, again, they know us, they know what our MPH is about. And again, I said it's not just a guest lecture, but really I think you need to tie that talk when somebody's coming into the theory in the class. So if you're teaching I teach a course on management of a public health agency, and it really focuses on managing health centers, managing FQHCs, managing hospitals with a public health mission. But the important thing is not just that I get practitioners that come in and tell the stories, and the stories are great. I mean, there's nothing better than a practitioner coming in and saying, yeah, here's all this management theory you've learned, but when I come to work at 7 o'clock in the morning, the walk-in line for my public health clinic is going around the block. And at the end of the line is someone who just got discharged from the hospital. Do I let them cut the line? Like, that's the real stuff. But what's really important, I think, is to marry those stories and those challenges with the academic theory. So the take home is really that when you have a guest lecture in your class, it's not a day off. It's not a, oh, I don't have to do anything because so-and-so's coming in, and they're going to talk about their stuff for the day. It's really important, I think, to work with your practitioners about some of the case studies that they may be presenting, helping them figure out how to manage the class, how to divide people into groups, how to make sure that there's still a pedagogy of teaching that works with the real-world experience that they're using. The other thing I think it's helpful in terms of engaging practitioners are some basic incentives. So whether it's adjunct appointments, library privileges, took us a long time to do it because, of course, at Drexel, like I think many institutions, you can't get privileges to anything if you're not on the payroll, and you have to be on the payroll as a permanent thing. But we managed to do something. I don't know who did it, how they did it, and I don't ask any questions. But we were able to get kind of a practice track of adjuncts, largely from our local health department, who are adjuncts. They don't have to teach an entire course. They don't get paid because they're actually not allowed to get paid from their ethics standpoint because they contract with us. But we are able to afford them library privileges so they can actually look up articles through the Drexel Library, which is huge because if you're working in a local health department and you want to read the latest article in some journal on obesity management for your CDC project, you can't get it. So little things like that we have found has been really helpful. So just final thoughts. Again, I think the stronger the bridges between academic public health and public health practice, the better our teaching of students and of the workforce, and they go together. So the more that we use the same teachers in both settings, we use teachers for our students, we use those same teachers out in the workforce, we use our preceptors and our practitioners to come in and teach our students, the more we do it, I think the better for everyone. And the more we help. Right? So those of us who know something about teaching is hard. You can know a lot. It doesn't mean you can teach it well. But if you know a lot with the right support, then I think you can teach it well. And I think there's a role to play, those of us who do know how to teach and like teaching and work with students or work with the workforce, to just do a little bit with our practitioners and with our faculty to help them be really good teachers and teach what they know and teach better.